Ready to unpack the Christmas story? I mean, really unpack it.
Let's do it.
We're going to take a deep dive into the origins, the deeper meaning, all that good stuff.
We've got those biblical excerpts lined up, so we'll hit the prophecies, those big moments, and the theology that makes this story so powerful.
By the end of this, you'll have a fresh take on that Christmas narrative, and maybe, just maybe, you'll discover something totally new.
What always gets me about the Christmas story is it's not just one event.
Right.
It's woven through, like, centuries, way before that night in Bethlehem.
So before we even picture that manger scene, I gotta ask, did you know there were prophecies about Jesus's birth, like, centuries earlier?
Oh, absolutely. Those prophecies are essential. They really frame the impact of his arrival. Imagine you're living back then, waiting for the Messiah, and then bam, this prophecy about a virgin birth.
Unheard of, right?
Totally. It was more than just a new king. It pointed to something divine.
Setting the stage for something huge.
Exactly. And then there's Micah, who actually pinpoints Bethlehem as the birthplace.
That's in Micah 5.2, right?
Yep. Now, that detail becomes super important later, but it also taps into these deeper Jewish messianic expectations.
Hold on, how so?
Well, think about it, Bethlehem. That was King David's birthplace. The prophecy wasn't just about location. It was connecting Jesus to that lineage, saying, hey, this is the ultimate heir, the king who will restore Israel's glory.
Wow. So those prophecies built up the anticipation for his arrival. And then we have those dramatic angelic announcements to Mary and Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Those always feel like such pivotal moments.
Absolutely. Those encounters reveal the divine plan, and they capture those human reactions to this massive revelation. Like Luke 1.28, Gabriel calls Mary, O favored one.
It makes you wonder, why her?
Right. What made Mary so special?
Yeah, was it just chance?
You know, that's a question that has fascinated theologians forever. But at its core, Mary's selection highlights God's grace.
Oh, okay.
His ability to work through ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
I like that. And it's interesting to compare those angelic messages. You got the one to Mary in Luke 1.3033, and then to Joseph in Matthew 1.20-21. Both foretell Jesus's greatness, his mission, but Matthew specifically mentions saving people from their sins.
That's key, and it reflects how those Gospels have different focuses. Luke highlights Jesus as that divinic king, fulfilling those political hopes. Matthew, he hones in on Jesus as the Savior, emphasizing the spiritual side.
And their emotional responses are so different, too. We have Mary's acceptance in Luke 1.38, and then Joseph's initial fear in Matthew 1.20.
I know, right? It's like, even when facing the divine, human emotions are still complex.
Totally. Mary's response is total submission to God's will. But Joseph, he's grappling with it all. It reminds us those encounters with the divine are so personal.
And they evoke a full range of feelings.
Now we come to that classic nativity scene. But even in this well-known part, there are things that can really deepen our understanding. Did you realize the journey to Bethlehem in Luke 2.4-7 wasn't random?
Oh, no, not at all.
They had to go for the census. Seemed random. But think back to Micah 5.2, that prophecy.
Boom. That journey wasn't chance. It was fulfilling prophecy, showing how God works through, like, ordinary events.
It's like everything was planned.
Right.
And then you have this king being born in a manger. Talk about a contrast to how we usually think of royalty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It shows the humble beginnings of Jesus's life. Challenges our ideas about power, right?
Yeah.
Reminds us that true greatness can be found in those humble moments, in serving others.
Luke paints such a vivid scene in those verses. Mary wrapping Jesus in swaddling cloths, laying him in the manger. It's powerful stuff.
It might seem ordinary, but it grounds this incredible story in the reality of a human birth. You know,
yeah.
It emphasizes that God chose to experience the world through that fragility, through human life.
Okay, so Jesus is born. We have the shepherds arriving. That's a detail that always stood out to me. But why shepherds? Why not? Like royalty or religious leaders?
It's a great question. Shepherds back then, they were seen as outcasts. Their work was considered unclean, so they represent those who were overlooked.
Interesting.
God appearing to them first, it highlights how inclusive his message is. Like, salvation is for everyone, no matter your social standing.
It's a really powerful message, especially during this time of year, a reminder that God's love extends to everyone. And that scene itself is so dramatic, that night sky, the shepherds are afraid, and then an angel bathed in light.
It's meant to evoke awe, wonder. Imagine, you're a shepherd working the night shift, and suddenly this light, an angel appears. It's a sign that something extraordinary is happening.
Then there's that incredible chorus in Luke 2.1314, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
That chorus, that's a declaration of how significant Jesus' birth is. This isn't just a baby, it's the one who brings peace, reconciliation to a broken world.
So now we have to talk about those mysterious magi. Not kings, as some people think, but wise men, guided by a star.
Right, the magi. They add this layer of mystery to the story. Their journey, guided by a star, suggests Jesus' birth wasn't just a local event, it had universal significance. It speaks to this idea that God's plan for salvation is for everyone, all nations.
Their journey is fascinating. It makes me wonder, were they astronomers, astrologers? What did wise men even mean back then?
That's a great question. Wise men in that era, it probably referred to those skilled in interpreting the stars, those knowledgeable about ancient prophecies.
Okay.
They were seekers, drawn to the newborn king.
And of course they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's the significance there?
Each gift has a deeper meaning. It goes beyond their material value. Gold, the gift for a king, it acknowledges Jesus' royal status. Frankincense, used in worship, that points to his divinity.
Yep.
And myrrh,
okay.
It's used in burial rituals. It foreshadows his sacrifice, his death. The gifts are like a glimpse into Jesus' destiny, his life, death, and resurrection, all wrapped up in that one moment.
Wow, I never thought about the gift that way.
That's what makes the Christmas story so rich. Every detail has layers of meaning.
It's amazing how those seemingly simple gifts held so much significance. Okay, so we've got prophecies, angels, shepherds, wise men. The Christmas story is packed with intrigue and symbolism. But what about the Gospel of John? Where does it fit in?
Oh, John. He shifts the focus to that core theological message of Christmas.
Yeah.
John 1.14, you've got this powerful statement. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Okay.
That Word becoming flesh, that's the foundation of Christian theology, and it's at the very heart of Christmas.
So break that down for me. What does it actually mean, even for someone who isn't deeply religious? How can we understand this?
It essentially means God, who's eternal, beyond our understanding, chose to enter human history, become one of us.
Wow.
Think about that. God, the creator, chose to experience the world through a human body. It's mind-blowing.
So it's not just about a baby. It's about God taking human form to be with us.
Precisely. And if you connect it back to all those prophecies, those events, it makes the story even more awe-inspiring. This wasn't just any birth. It was fulfilling those ancient promises, the Messiah arriving. It was the culmination of God's plan.
Wow, it really changes your perspective. It's like those puzzle pieces fitting together. The prophecies, the announcements, the humble birth, those visitors, all leading to this moment of God becoming human.
It's quite the puzzle, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Christmas story, it's this tapestry of history, faith, symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And it invites us to contemplate this mystery, this wonder of God becoming one of us.
So we've gone from those prophecies to that humble manger, and now this profound theological message. It's a lot to take in.
And we've only just begun.
I can't wait to keep going.
No, right? It really makes you think when you consider that the creator of everything chose to enter the world as a vulnerable baby.
Yeah.
That kind of flips our ideas about power and what's divine, you know?
Totally. It makes you reconsider what powerful even means. But this idea of God becoming human, how did people back then even begin to wrap their heads around that? Seems so abstract.
It was, and honestly still is, a difficult concept to grasp. But that's the radical idea at the heart of it all. And it's not just some theological theory. It changes how we see ourselves, our relationship with God, the world around us.
Okay, unpack that a little for me. What are some of those implications?
Well, think about it. If God chose to become one of us, experience the world through human eyes, feel those emotions, it says something about our human experience.
Okay.
It says our joys, our sorrows, struggles, triumphs, they're not meaningless to God.
That's really comforting. It's like God isn't this distant figure way out there. He's right here with us, living life alongside us.
Exactly. And it makes us rethink how we treat each other. If God values humanity so much that he was willing to become human, then we should extend that same love and compassion to everyone, no matter what makes us different.
Makes sense. It really changes how we view our relationships, our responsibilities to others. Okay, so we've been talking theology, but how did this story resonate with people culturally? How did it become this central part of our celebrations and traditions?
That's a great question. It's important to remember the Christmas story, it's been interpreted and reinterpreted over and over again throughout history. As it spread, Across cultures and time periods, it picked up new meanings, new traditions.
So it wasn't just about religion. It became mixed with cultural values and practices, too.
Exactly. Think about all the different ways the nativity scene has been shown throughout history. You've got those classic Renaissance paintings, modern art installations, even those cute little claymation figures in holiday specials. Each one adds something new to the story, reflecting the values of that time.
It's like the story itself is alive, constantly changing, adapting as it's passed down through generations. But even within the Bible, we see different perspectives, right? Matthew and Luke emphasize different things about Jesus.
Definitely. Matthew, he focuses on Jesus as the fulfillment of those Jewish prophecies, the King of the Jews.
Right.
His genealogy, it traces that lineage back to Abraham and David, establishing his claim to the throne.
So for Matthew's audience, Jesus was the answer to those promises of a Messiah who would restore Israel.
Exactly. Now, Luke, he portrays Jesus as the savior of all humanity, the one who brings good news to everyone, especially those who are struggling. His genealogy traces Jesus back to Adam, emphasizing his connection to all of humanity.
It's like they're highlighting different sides of the same, I don't know, like a diamond or something. And then you've got John. His gospel takes a more mystical approach, right?
Oh, yeah. John's all about Jesus's divine nature, that word made flesh. His gospel isn't as concerned with the historical details. It dives into the deeper meaning of God becoming human.
So all these different perspectives, all these layers, it can feel overwhelming. How do we even start to make sense of it all?
I think that's the beautiful part. There's no single right way to interpret it. It's a story that invites us to explore, to grapple with its complexities, to engage with it on different levels, historical, theological, cultural, even personal.
So it's okay to have questions, to like wrestle with the different interpretations.
Totally. In fact, I'd say that's essential. It's not a static thing. It's a living narrative that keeps speaking to us in new ways as we grow and change.
So it's not just a story we hear once a year and then forget. It's something we can keep exploring throughout our lives.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why it has lasted for so long. It speaks to our deep desires for hope, for love, for meaning, for connection to something bigger than ourselves.
It's a story that touches on those big themes, good versus evil, light versus darkness, and ultimately the triumph of hope.
And even though it happened so long ago, those themes are timeless. They speak to everyone.
Okay, so we've talked about how the Christmas story has been interpreted throughout history, but what about its impact on art and culture?
The Christmas story has been inspiring artists, musicians, writers, filmmakers, you name it, for centuries. It's a part of Western culture, influencing music, literature, art, even pop culture.
I've always been so intrigued by how differently the nativity scene is portrayed in art. You've got everything from traditional Renaissance paintings to those more modern sculptures to those animated specials we all watched growing up.
Exactly. Each artist takes their own perspective, their own style, and highlights different parts of the story.
Right.
Some focus on that tender moment, the closeness between Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Others, they focus on the miraculous, with angels and heavenly light everywhere. And then there are those who show the social and political side of Jesus' birth, making him out to be a revolutionary who challenged everything.
It's amazing how one story can inspire so many different creative expressions.
It really speaks to how powerful the story is, its ability to go beyond time and culture. The Christmas story still speaks to us because it taps into those universal desires, those hopes for love, redemption, and the possibility of change.
It's like a reminder that even when things are tough, there's always potential for something good, for new beginnings.
And I think that message is especially important now, when the world feels so divided and uncertain. It reminds us that even in the midst of darkness, there's always a possibility for peace and renewal.
Okay, so we've talked about the deeper meaning, the cultural impact, the artistic interpretations. But at the end of the day, it's also a very personal story.
Absolutely. We've been looking at it from all these angles, historical, theological, cultural, but the real meaning comes from how we connect with it on a personal level.
So it's not just about knowing the facts or accepting someone else's interpretation. It's about reflecting on it and figuring out what it means to us.
Exactly. The Christmas story, it invites us to ask ourselves, what does the birth of Jesus mean to me? How does it change my view of the world? How does it change my relationships? How does it inspire me to live a better life?
Those are some big questions.
They are, but they're important ones to think about, not just during the holidays, but all year round. Because in the end, the Christmas story isn't just about something that happened long ago. It's about the power of love, the possibility of change, and that hope that things can always get better.
It feels like we've been on a journey. We've gone from those prophecies whispered centuries ago to that simple setting of the manger, and now this incredible message about God becoming human.
And we've barely scratched the surface. There's so much more to uncover, so many different interpretations that have developed over time.
You know, I think that's what makes this show so special. We're not just giving people information, we're encouraging them to think for themselves, to ask those questions, and to really delve into these ideas.
I agree. And when it comes to a story like this one, it's easy to get lost in the traditions and rituals. But it's important to take a step back and really think about the meaning behind them.
It's like we've unwrapped at the present. And now it's time to appreciate the gift itself, that message of hope, love, and renewal.
And that message is something we can carry with us all year long. It reminds us that even when things are tough, there's always reason for hope and a deeper meaning to be found.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with one final thought. We've explored the history, the biblical accounts, the theological significance, but the Christmas story, it's a personal one. It asks each of us, what does the birth of Jesus mean to me?
How does this story shape how I see the world, how I treat others? What does it inspire me to do? And how can I bring its message of hope and love to everyone around me?
Those are some powerful questions to think about, not just now, but every day. So keep exploring, keep reflecting, keep discovering the beauty and meaning of the story.
And from both of us, happy holidays. May our hearts be filled with the wonder and joy of this season. It really is amazing how much depth there is to this story. It's like every time you come back to it, you find something new, another layer to unpack.
That's what I love about digging into these kinds of topics. There's always more to discover, more to think about. It's not just about getting the facts. It's about like engaging with the ideas, wrestling with them even.
Absolutely. And with a story like the Christmas story, one that's been told and retold for centuries, it's easy to just go through the motions, you know. But when we take the time to really think about it, to question our assumptions, that's where the real meaning comes through.
It's like we've been on this journey together, peeling back those layers, uncovering the history, the symbolism, the different interpretations. But now it's about taking all that and making it personal.
Yeah, like how does this story speak to me, to my life, to the world around me?
Right. It's about finding that individual connection, that spark that makes the story come alive in a new way.
It's about recognizing that this story isn't just something that happened a long time ago. It's a living thing. It's happening now. In our lives, in our communities, in the world.
And that's what makes it so powerful. This isn't just a feel-good story for the holidays. It's a story that challenges us, that asks us to be better, to do better.
Exactly. It calls us to love more deeply, to forgive more freely, to be more compassionate. And it reminds us that even when things are tough, even when we feel lost or alone, there's always hope.
There's always that light shining through. And that's a pretty incredible message if you think about it.
It really is. It gives us that strength to keep going, to keep believing, to keep working towards a better world.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this. Don't just let the Christmas story be something you hear once a year and then forget. Let it challenge you. Let it inspire you. Let it change you.
And most importantly, let it guide you to live a life that reflects those values of love, compassion, and hope that are at the very heart of the story.
Because those are the values that can truly transform the world.
Absolutely.
Well, that was quite a journey. From those ancient prophecies to that humble manger to the message that has resonated for centuries, it's been an amazing exploration.
I completely agree. It's been a pleasure diving deep with you and our listeners.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained some new insights, asked some new questions, and maybe even found a new appreciation for the Christmas story.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep seeking. And most of all, keep believing in the power of hope and love to change the world.
Happy holidays, everyone!